Every day, it seems like another device is getting smarter. From smart watches to Wi-Fi enabled LED bulbs, everything around us is becoming more connected and efficient. And just like our world is getting smarter, your e-commerce business should be too. If you're looking for incredible efficiency, or if your business has outgrown its old shipping solutions, ShipStation is the tool that can help you take that next step. ShipStation offers exceptional shipping efficiency with a powerful all-in-one order fulfillment system. It integrates with over 180 of the most popular e-commerce platforms, marketplaces, and carriers, making it easier than ever to manage your shipping tasks. I personally use ShipStation, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. The ability to automate shipping tasks and manage orders from one simple dashboard has saved me countless hours. I love that I can print shipping labels with just one click and take advantage of industry-leading discounts. Up to 89% off with carriers like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's made scaling my business faster and more efficient than I ever thought possible. Plus, saving thousands on shipping costs is just the icing on the cake. If you want to lead your business into the future with technology designed to save you money and headaches, ShipStation is the way to go. It seamlessly integrates with the services and selling channels you already use, and it's the fastest, most affordable way to ship products to your customers. Over 130,000 companies have already grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation. And 98% of those that use it for a year become customers for life. So switch to ShipStation today and lead your e-commerce business into a smarter future. Go to ShipStation.com and use code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code BOOK.
First of all, I want to thank the Venetian Resort, Las Vegas, the poker room. You're going to see a lot of us here. Obviously, with the SiriusXM stuff that I do that's specific to that side of it, so I needed a place to share with the community. And so this is the biggest poker room on the Strip now. And we have a studio opening up winter back there. And so we'll be bringing in all types of guests and filming stuff and doing events in this back room. Meetups are my favorite thing to do. And they literally happened because I traveled a lot years ago. And I wake up really early, whether I'm the East Coast or in Europe, Asia, or in the West Coast. And usually between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m., whether I'm with my family or not, it was like this dead time. So I had a choice of like surfing back then the internet or TikTok, Instagram. And I just decided, you know what, if your mission is really to empower people, then why don't you just invite people that need help to come meet me at the hotel for an hour. And I put it out there and two people showed up, and people always showed up. Not necessarily like this, and it gets crazy now. And I just did it to say, hey, what can I do to be of service? Who do I know that can help you and really build a community or in person, which nobody was doing. And what I found was, and I've done thousands of these, I do every city I go to, and even in my hometown, I give an hour a day to just put out there. And yes, some people are like, dude, you're annoying me with your stupid text. You know, fuck you, I don't care. Because if I'm annoying a couple people, that means there's still people out there that aren't seeing it. And I use that as a lesson for all of you. If you annoy a couple people, that means there's way more people that aren't seeing it. So hopefully, if somebody's annoyed at that, you probably don't want them to be around you anyway, because if you're annoyed by my text, then I definitely will annoy you in person. So just delete me, unsubscribe me, or whatever. But the coolest thing about it, that I found besides building a community like this, was that I was learning more in a different way than anyone that I knew, because I am in so many different cities. I saw a commonality of humanity. I saw what people were listening for. all types, look around you, all types of people from all types of places. And as much as I see this separation occurring on the media, I actually was witnessing a unification of interest. And so the word appreciation means a lot to me. And I was learning to appreciate more and more the differences. And I started doing the math of it. I'm probably a one in trillions of chances of being here. I'm one in 8 billion on this earth. Why am I trying to agree with all of you? What I really want to do is appreciate all of you. I want to appreciate your fingerprint on this earth. And I don't want to agree with you. I want to learn from you. I want you to add value to my life. And I want to add value to your life by seeing how you see, which is absolutely not the way anyone else sees things. And so I have been on a mission to listen for unity and understanding so that people can feel good about that idea of gratitude or appreciation. Find the light, the love, and the lessons in everyone, everything, every place, every situation, and your life will appreciate money-wise, help-wise, and happiness-wise. And so that's truly abundance. So in order for this to work, you got to ask questions. If you don't have a question, 0 to 1 is way harder than 1 to 100. So I have several plants out there that will guarantee me the first question. The thing that frustrates me both about questions is this: there will be someone that I know has a question, and for an hour I will take questions, I'll ask for them, and the minute I have to go to my next interview or show, they'll be like, dude, I got a question, can I walk with you? Yes, you can, but please try to get your questions in now. All right, yes, sir.
What's the number one thing that you enjoy about being in front of everybody and creating the community? Is it the camaraderie? Is it the knowledge that you're partaking in with other individuals and passing on? Or is it just a cumulative amount of different?
Well, there's several different layers, right? It boosts my ego, right? I'm a middle child.
Yeah.
And it's like every time I can't deny the fact that I'm like, holy shit, this is super cool.
Yeah.
And it strokes my ego, which is good because it motivates me on the days that I don't want to do it. That this many people would care enough to show up or get choked up, why do it? But what I get out of it is the ability to build a community of people that want to help each other and know people that will help each other. It's a unique experience. I get people all the time. I do paid, most of what I do is free like this, but you know, when you go to Capitol Grill and bring in speakers that normally charge like 50 grand to show up to places, and you do that and you're like, hey, just if you can't afford it, I'll have you cover your costs. People get pissed off, and I guarantee it too. But the difference is nobody leaves without feeling the frequency and without getting the value of, holy shit, I now have all these people that are wanting to help me and I can help. And that's the most valuable thing. When you leave here, you'll be like, wow, we got 50 people that want to help each other. And know. And there's all kinds, it could be your car insurance. Like, I met someone just as far as like you get here. It's too many cars because my kids all left and they left their cars and won't let me sell them because they own them. But I got to insure them. Someone's like, dude, you just get Metro Mile. What do you mean? There's like an insurance company owned by Lemonade that charges by the mile. So my insurance went from like $1,100 a month to $160 a month. I'm like, I just got paid a lot for doing a meetup.
But you with your car warranty?
See, there we go.
We have enough of those.
So the community of people that help, and I have learned in a pragmatic sense, a community of people that help one another and know people to help one another, they buy from each other and sell for each other. You're guaranteed to be success the rest of your life. If you have 1,000 people that buy from you and sell for you, you're rich in a business sense. I promise you, you'll be hired for everything and you'll have more people than you know to do with. All right, next question. Yes.
When did you know to transition into your speaking and your giving?
So I don't believe in transition. I believe in expansion. So when I started looking at my skills, my knowledge, and my desire, and how it applies to what's doing well today, what's stable today, or what I think is going to do well. So when I started to align my skills, my knowledge of who and what, and my desire with where I wanted to be or better by studying, okay, this is doing well, this is stable, this is what I think is going to do well, that my skills, knowledge, and desire lended itself to speaking. And so I made it a part of what I was doing, just like meetups. Because I traveled so much, part of my skill and knowledge is travel. Then I just overlapped it and took some intern and said, dude, I want you to call every chamber of commerce, every undergrad, every high school, every graduate school, and whatever type of school it was, or chamber, or, you know, EO, YPO, Vistage, all the groups. I'm like, I just want you to call and say, hey, you're blessed. Dave Meltzer's coming into town and he'd love to stop by for 20 minutes and speak to your group. Invariably, they would say, how much? And invariably, I would have them say $5,000. Now, this is really important in whatever you do in speaking. If you want to be a paid speaker, perceived value is everything in paid speaking. There's only one thing that determines perceived value. It's your confidence and your comfortability of it quantifiably articulating that cost. I don't care what I just sold a car. My wife's like, how the hell did you sell for $5,000 more than what you traded in for? I said, because I was very comfortable and confident in articulating the value of your car. I didn't want to trade it in. Was my bottom line? Yeah, my bottom line was what I was going to trade it in for. Carvana was going to come if I couldn't get the bottom line. Same thing with speaking. Most of the speeches my first year, 100 speeches in my very first year, I got paid the goose egg. But my guy was really comfortable and confident in articulating $5,000. Doesn't mean he got it, but that zero was my bottom line, and I got really good at speaking. I got a lot of content. I wish I would have got more because I didn't know that side of the game yet. But by the end of the year, I got my first $25,000 speech. And it went from 5,000 I was comfortable with, 10, 25, 50, into 100. And all in the speaking realm of just getting better. No matter how good or bad you are, you can always get better. The danger of being a new speaker, and I know Dee Dee knows this because she's someone who I worked with when she was a new speaker, is that 10% of the people will love what you say no matter what. That's the biggest danger of speaking. Why? Because you get in front of 100 people and 10 of them come up afterwards and say, that was the most amazing speech I've ever heard. You changed my life. And you think you're Tony Robbins. All you are is a frequent, all they are is on a frequency. Now, the 10% that hate you no matter what, they leave. So you never hear from them. And then the other 80% that really didn't care, they left too. So you're left thinking, oh my God, everybody loves me, I'm so great. No, you're not. And when you do get great, 10% of the people will still love you. 10% will still hate you. The only difference is that you're gonna gain more interest from the 80% than you did before. And it still will take repetition until some 10% of that 80% will love you, 10% more of that 80% will love you, continually as you provide more opportunities to speak. And so I still know that when I speak in front of people, that I can always get better. I watch from 13 years ago when I started speaking, when I thought I was Tony Robbins, and I wasn't. And I watch what I do now and still know that I'm not. There's two types of speakers, by the way, and don't confuse yourself. There's people who sell tickets. So I'm very famous. I speak on stages last week with Big Poppy and A-Rod. They're not as good as a speaker as I am, but they sell tickets. Then there's impactful people. I've seen incredible, impactful people that you have never even heard of that will change your life when you hear them speak. The nuggets that they drop are just consistent. Where you want to get is to be a very impactful speaker that leads you to be able to sell tickets. I did an event at YouTube Theater. We did not sell out the YouTube Theater. It was Rob Riggle, Dane Cook, Marshall Falk, me, Marie Diamond. There's enough people to sell tickets. We still didn't sell out YouTube Theater. But I knew going in that I wasn't going to sell the tickets. I partnered with the people that I thought could sell all the tickets. And I told my team, I'm not doing that again until I know that I can send out a text or an email and fill up, like I do a meetup, fill up YouTube Theater. And I know that day will come. I got to get better and I need more repetitions and it'll grow. More people that are out there buying from me and selling for me will keep telling people, have you read his book? Have you come to his meetups? Have you gone to Holding Court? Have you ever been to his group coaching, his one-on-one? It just keeps happening as long as I stay consistent and keep getting better. David.
Last time you said something really powerful. You said,
You're not humble, or you're about to be.
Yeah, my favorite quote. You're either humble or you're about to be. And I literally used that when I stepped on stage at YouTube Theater and like 30 people were out there. I was like, it got me at ease. I'm like, hey, I guess you're either humble or you're about to be.
So in between those humbling moments, especially when you're on the ascension and everything's really going your way, like in a really fast, positive way, how do you balance ego and not let that?
I love that quote. I'm in a constant practice of identifying my reaction to fear, because that's when ego isn't. The ego is meant to react to fear. That's it. It feeds, it flees, it fights, it fornicates in reaction to what? Fear. And billions of dollars are spent trying to figure out what you're afraid of. Please pursue that, but don't expect it to be an overnight epiphany of what you're afraid of. Because you have past lives, you have womb trauma, you have toddler trauma, infancy trauma, teenage trauma, 20s, 30s, 40s, and I now have 50s trauma. And so I can't figure out what I'm afraid of, but what I came to the greatest idea here is I instant and obvious, not there, I don't have to hire a therapist. You know, it's just real simple. How am I reacting to fear? Why? Because when you react to fear, you evoke ego and it interferes with my potential. So when I'm pissed off, surprise, no therapy needed. I know I'm pissed. When I'm sad, no. When I have a need to be right, I don't need a therapist, right? When I'm anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, separate, inferior, superior, all of those feelings that I get that are reacting, it's an ego-based reacting to the fear, I know it instantly. So I'm probably gonna put a lot of therapists out of business that you keep paying every single week to try to figure out something that may have too many variables to figure out. For me, it's just simple. Okay, you're pissed. That doesn't do you any good. That is interfering with your God. That is interfering with yourself. That is interfering with your potential. So then I'm in the man-made construct. So what's the only dependent variable of all man-made constructs? Time. We all share 24 hours a day. So why don't I shorten the distance of resistance by using time to say, what's the fastest way I can get back to ease? Back onto the divine direction. This is a divine detour on my divine direction in divine time. And so instead of resisting it, going over it, under it, through it, around it, lying to it, cheating it, manipulating and denying it, I surrender. That's where the ferocious Buddha comes from, right? I'm ferocious as shit and boom, I'm afraid. Now I have a reaction to that fear. Now I surrender. I just stop. And it's hard. Anybody that's married and you get into an argument with a need to be right, I promise you it's ferocious to stop. But you stop and you breathe, you recollect, remind, remember, resource is a great word to think about. I resource myself and then I roll into the what I want in the divine direction or better, knowing that I don't know or understand outcomes and all I'm doing is wasting time with this reaction to fear. And so I'm constantly in that practice of identifying the instant and the obvious and stopping. Awesome. Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you for being here. It doesn't work unless you're here. You get that, right?
In all transparency, I've not heard of you until recently.
Good. Can you tell the other 7.6 billion people that have never heard of me? You're in the majority, right?
You got 400 million that know you?
Maybe.
That's pretty good.
But I wanted to add on what Dave asked. So in the other direction, right? It feels like you're doing amazing in my opinion. And how do you keep yourself going?
Yeah. At the top? So understanding how do we keep ourselves going? There's two ways to keep ourselves going. One is fear-based. And I think it's important to know that fear can get you up. It can get you back up. It can get you started and it can get you back started, but it's not going to get you there. And then to get me there, so I know that's one mechanism. If my issue is getting started, I'm okay using fear. But to get me there, I use inspiration, which is a shift in a paradigm to identify what I'm doing to interfere with where I want to be or better. And so for me, I am very disciplined on daily practices that leverage my values to know what I want today. Personally, experientially, giving and receiving wise, according to the actual circumstances of today, then I can assess the lessons from the past. So I'm finding the light, the love, and the lessons in my mistakes, failures, setbacks, shortages, voids, obstacles, and successes. So I'm utilizing the reality of today, interest rates, in-laws. My mom's in the hospital. That's a reality of today that changes my perspective of what I want. So I say, okay, this is what I want according to the interest rates, the politics, all the stuff, my planned and unplanned activities. Now, what lessons can I use to fuel that in what? A divine direction and utilizing divine time to get to where I think I want to be or better. So I think I want to own a penthouse in San Diego today. And so I'm going to take the circumstances today, the lessons of the past, of what amount of time do I want to spend in the divine direction of owning a penthouse in San Diego. Then tomorrow I find out, oh, you know what? There's a whole bunch of homeless people where you want to live and it's not really a good value. And maybe I want to live in Orange County instead. Well, they don't have a penthouse. This is the reality of how I use my day. But I'm constantly moving towards a divine direction in divine time by understanding there's a reality of today. And so that's what helped me. I became more successful during COVID than most people because I used this methodology. I said, here's the reality of today. Because if I would have continued on Sports One marketing, which surrounded itself with the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, and Grammys, with all the millions of dollars of deposits that I had for the next 12 months, and I wasn't smart enough to say, that's not what I want today, according to the lessons I've learned from the past when I lost all my money and thought I knew what I knew and I was going to control the future. Instead, I have a new divine direction. With the skills, knowledge, and desire, what's doing well today, what's stable, what do I think is going to do well? I think I'm going to lean into Dave Meltzer, my coaching, my speaking, all of that, because that stuff is going to do better than the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the Masters. And I'll reassess tomorrow as I went. And it was a really good example of how this philosophy of daily practice is, after you know what you want, who you can help, who can help you, because that's the fastest way to get to where you want to be, is find someone that's already there and ask them for help, and find someone you can help get to where they want to be. That's my whole life, the who. Then how can I get it done is a matter of practice as well, utilizing time to be productive, accessible, gracious. Then the magic moment's called prioritization, confirmation that you actually know what's important to you according to today. If you procrastinate, anyone here procrastinate? Anyone ever feel overwhelmed? You don't know what's important to you. You're not prioritizing. Prioritization is the antidote. If you know what's important to you, you're going to know what to do now. You know what's going to do next. It will be impossible to feel overwhelmed. You'll actually start feeling abundant and feeling grateful when there's too many things to do during the day. I'm so lucky. I have so many options, opportunities, and touches of favor. People in my life that are inviting me places. People in my life that want me to take care of them. People in my life that want to. I have all these different options. I'm so blessed, but I live in the reality of 24 hours a day, guaranteed it, every day of my life, except for the last day, you'll be cheated. Minutes, seconds, hours, you'll be cheated your last day. But every other day, I got 24 hours. And so I'm now going to utilize them in a divine direction in divine time today. And it just keeps feeding gratitude, which is perspective that there's light, love, and lessons in everything, not darkness in everything. The only difference between Dave Meltzer 15 years ago and Dave Meltzer today, as far as what I feel like, my insecurities, my fears, all the issues that I have that are genetically and energetically part of my quantum being, is that I have learned, instead of spending days, weeks, months, and years accelerating in the wrong direction when I feel that way attacked, is I spend minutes and moments. So the majority of my day is spent moving towards where I want to be, and I'm getting there faster or better. Instead of, gosh, all the wasted time that I see people spending, including me. It's funny because people think, oh, you must not feel this way. Oh my gosh. I feel that as many times that you feel the way that you feel, I feel the same amount of times during the day. I just spend less time feeling that way. That's why time is just, for me, the dependent variable of my life. It's the only quantitative measurement. Like, think about this. If somebody said to you, how can I feel less guilty? That's a difficult, as a coach, that's a difficult question to get into. I'm not a therapist, but I bet therapists have a difficult question with why or how do I feel less guilty. But I came up with an answer once I realized time's a quantitative, true dependent variable thing is how much time do you spend feeling guilty today? 2.5 hours. Okay, spend 2 hours and 29 minutes tomorrow. Eventually, you'll feel less guilty. Yep. Do you see how powerful time is? It sounds silly. It really does, but it actually truly works. Same thing, how can I be more happy? How much time do you spend being happy a day? 6 hours, and spend 6 hours and 1 minute being happy tomorrow. You're going to get to be more happy. It sounds silly, but it's a lot easier than me saying, well, you're trying to seek your dad's approval. You're competing against your brother. You have, you know, you were abused, you know, or whatever else happened in Maya. You lost everything. You identify with money. Now, that's all great, but that's going to take a lot of time for me to figure out. Why not just be happier more of the time and be sad less of the time? So I do spend more of the time in the pursuit of my potential, because you cannot pursue happiness. Happiness is the pursuit, especially when you're clear on what's important to you. When you're pursuing what makes you happy, that's what makes you happy. Not, you'll never get there, but the pursuit, right? Chris Gardner is a good friend of mine. He wrote the book, Pursuit of Happiness. Will Smith played him in the movie, and I told him, dude, you just got it wrong. Might have sold a lot of tickets, but it should be Happiness is the Pursuit. Because that movie, that's exactly what that movie's about. And the more you know what's important to you, the happier the pursuit is.
Whether you're just beginning your journey into wine or you're a seasoned connoisseur, Justin Wines has something special for every moment. Since 1981, Justin has been setting the standard for world-class Bordeaux-style wines. As the trailblazer that put Paso on the winemaking map, Justin's dedication to excellence is undeniable. Their team takes a boutique approach, hand harvesting and hand sorting to ensure every bottle reflects the highest quality. With a history of accolades to back it up, Justin is proud to be America's number one luxury Cabernet producer. Whether you're new to wine or a seasoned enthusiast, Justin has the perfect wine for every celebration and occasion. Looking to elevate your holiday experience? Justin Wines makes the ideal gift for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Visit justinwine.com today. And don't forget to use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. This limited time offer is the perfect way to share an unforgettable wine experience with those who matter most.
Power of Intention had a major shift by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and then understanding intention itself. I came up with a formula of coincidence, which was what you pay attention. So vision boards, are you focusing on what you want? At the basic, what makes the movie The Secret, or the movie Beyond the Secret, which I'm in on Netflix, is what you pay attention to, a vision board. Wayne Dyer and anyone in that movie didn't really get into attention plus intention equals coincidence. The coinciding of the universe are better. Results, consequences, and outcomes occur by not only paying attention to a vision board, but giving it your intention. So then through further studies of intention, it wasn't just this idea of this is what I believe, which is where my journey started with Napoleon Hill, right? If you can believe it. So he tells you basically, focus in on what you want, believe it, and you will achieve it. But that's not whole. It's actually, and I'm sure mine's not whole either, and I'll have something different next time we meet. But right now, the better version of that for my betterment in my pursuit of my potential is, I'm gonna pay attention to what I want today, and I'm gonna, with the activities in the day, and everything's an activity. So sleeping is an activity. Getting high on your mom's couch, broke and drunk and sick, that's an activity. But is it aligned with your divine direction in your divine time? So for me, it's with all my activities, planned, unplanned. So my reaction to fear is unplanned. Things that I don't have are flat tires, unplanned, right? My daughter calling me crying is unplanned. My mom being in the hospital is unplanned. But what's not, what is available to us to deal with all activities is not only keeping in mind what I'm paying attention to, but is what I'm doing today, saying today, NLP, thinking today, believing today like Napoleon Hill, and feeling. Feeling is an intuitive resonance that I believe in. I believe in harmonious resonance. So the more I live in harmonious resonance, the more I know what's interfering with my harmonious resonance. Because if I'm in a harmony of resonance, then I'm actually getting the most out of something bigger than me, protects, loves, promotes me more than my mom. And omniscient, all powerful. Omniscient and all powerful, that seems really good source for me. Anything that's omniscient and all-powerful, infinite in that way, seems like a really good source not to interfere with. So I'm thinking, saying, doing, feeling, and believing in alignment with the coincidences, the coinciding that I want, the consequences, outcomes, and results that I think I want, or better. Adding in humility that at the time outcomes and coincidences and consequences occur, I may not understand or know how it's a divine detour to a divine direction in divine time. My biggest example, that's, you know, losing $100 million when it happened, I did not think this was a divine detour. I thought it was straight out punishment. Sure. I actually, most of you know, I stood in front of my mom and said, are you fucking kidding me? I lost your house. I lost over $100 million, but I lost your house. The only mom, I was crying. Only reason I wanted to be rich was to buy you this house. And I've lost it. Why am I being punished? And my mom, who has harmonious resonance and has a different faith than I had at that time, she just looked at me and she said, sweetheart, you believe in God? I said, no, I don't. She said, you just believe in the wrong God. The one that's interfering with the omniscient and all-powerful. The one that loves you, protects you, promotes you more than me. Changed my life. And understanding the quantum is inherent within that as well. But for me, shifting the paradigm and perspective of that has helped me. It's not 100% true, but it's true for me. And it obviously works to get you to where you want to be or better.